bitch. I'm the Undertaker.
I'm Agborn Zipcack.
You're listening to Solar Fall Radio at solarfall.com.
We're back. Going?
Yeah, it's like, and a lot of you are going, really? I didn't realize you were gone.
Great, you're back.
Yeah, more tomfoolery and idiocy and not playing the right bands, and you guys suck.
Exactly.
But you're listening, so there.
Yeah, it's been a month, and we took a little me time, me being metal enema time.
Yeah, M-E.
M-E time to get to know ourselves a little bit better.
Yeah, we fucked.
Yeah.
And then
I've been growing a mustache, which took up a lot of concentration.
Mm, it's kind of
no time to be hilarious. Just a lot of time to sit at home going.
And then alternately
turning the heater on, you know, because hot air makes your pores open up. Hair dryer on the face,
and then getting each hair with a pair of tweezers and kind of yanking on them to make them come out further.
Right, totally. So.
I've actually done that before. That's the weirdest thing. Like, you know, you have like a ingrown hair on your face, you're like, huh, and then you're like, eek, and it just kind of pulls out, but doesn't like actually pop out of your face. It's like, hey, I made it grow faster. I'll just grow a beard overnight. Eek, eek, eek.
Ah, huh. Yeah. Why do I have to sneeze and cry all the time? Ah.
Yep. This is appropriate of nothing, but I'll just bring it up. I'm not really happy with Century Media's distro capabilities.
Why is that?
Well, because when I order from the Ina Offensive at www.theinaoffensive.com,
right,
probably the best distro around, they get things to me in about 5 days, give or take. Just appropriate amount of time for media mail.
Sure.
And since I order it media mail, that usually means that he's probably put it in the mail the next day if it's coming in 5 days.
Right.
So that's good service. Then there's the end records that I order things that I can't get through the INA because the INA is more selective. When I'm ordering my my mainstream Demi Borger stuff.
Right. Now, when I reorder Vader's De Profundis for the eighth time,
it's through the end. And the end is crazy because
everything goes priority.
That
so it gets to you in 3 days, which is pretty cool. And you don't have to pay extra for it.
Right, but the way they do it, it's almost like they knew you were going to order it before. You start thinking about it, then you go to your mailbox a day and a half later,
right,
and it's there. Yeah, they're amazing. So the end is great, and the INA Offensive is great. But Century Media, no argument. They are the biggest metal label on earth. They are literally the biggest. They have the most money. They have the best distribution. They have, I think, the most bands. The raw numbers make them the biggest metal label on earth. And their distro response time sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Because they had that sale. Remember, we were looking on there the other night.
Yeah.
And I ordered a couple of things from them.
Is that sale over?
It's all through, I think, the end of October.
All right.
But don't order from them because it won't get here in any of, I mean, the time you spend wondering where the fuck your order is not going to be worth what you can just buy it at the end.
Yeah.
Because I went ahead and ordered a couple of things from them just because they were cheaper. And it's like, I wouldn't mind having a legitimate copy of this instead of just MP3s.
Right.
And so I ordered a couple of CDs and they're still not here. It has been a week now.
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah, pretty much coming up on a week. And I ordered something from the end after that. And it's here. It was here already.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 day turnaround always. And then my wife tells me, she's like, "Oh God!" She's like, "I remember ordering like a couple of shirts from them back in '98, and it took."
And I still haven't gotten them.
Right. Well, I know. She's like, "It took 8 weeks, and like at the 7 week mark, I was about to like try to figure out who I needed to like start crowing to about them being a ripoff, and then they appeared, you know, but." 8 weeks. That's like 1983 mail service. Like, you know, allow 6 to 8 weeks for shipping.
Are they shipping from Brazil or something?
I don't know.
But I wonder if they disclose the chocolate ringness of
not even get. No, let's not do that. Let's not do the chocolate rain. Do the mic dodge.
Right.
No, I'm just saying that it's not the most interesting topic, but it is a complaint. There is no reason that a label with that much manpower and money behind it should take anything more than a week to send their stuff. That's all I'm saying.
It's because they're too big for their britches.
I just don't think that's really where their heads are at. I think the distro is an afterthought.
Them. Totally.
Because they're one of the few labels that like where the cash money is in the bands they sign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, So, whatever. And, you know, I mean, you know, they're still managing to make money off bands like Krizian, you know, yeah, after the fact. So,
I'll have to see if what I'll have to do a triple comparison if what I was going to order from Century Media, how much the price difference is versus the end versus me just going to Best Buy and getting it, if it's going to be about the same price.
Well, good luck at Best Buy, though. I mean, pretty much the way it is now is like you can only get like the top sellers, the very top sellers.
Oh, sure. But that one thing that we were looking at on Century Media the other day, if I can get that thing at...
Now Diabolical?
No. Oh. Volcano. We were looking at Volcano.
Right, we were looking at Volcano.
That was the reason we were on the...
Yeah.
Shut up! You gotta keep up!
I'm trying... No, I know. I'm purposely impeding you in your circumspectness.
Yeah, so...
I keep pulling back the curtain.
That's right.
Got you again.
You're really a faker.
We had a friend who had Volcano from Satyricon, and we both have avoided that album and avoided that album. And it suddenly, I was like, huh... I mean, we're not going to play it on the show. It's really, I don't think it's that good. I mean, just in principle, but it kind of seemed like something to listen to, you know, just like hot dogs.
Glory or belly.
Yeah. Just like, just like hot dogs or something to eat, you know?
Sure.
So also it honestly, I finally went, you know, I'd like to pay for a CD once this year, not have it on a promo or through MP3s, you know.
Right. Well, those are backups.
Yeah. Actually, that's not true. I've bought like shit tons of CDs this year. I think everything I've heard on MP3 that I really liked, I immediately bought. So,
yeah.
And, you know, again, we've talked about that. MP3s are a great way to actually, it's kind of like the listening stations at the store, except it's just at your house. And you can also download porn, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. So, we've got a show tonight. we're going to kick it off with an...
Death Spell of Manga was the band of the month.
Yeah, but we're just going to keep it going because we didn't finish playing the album.
Yep.
So, why not? We have Armageddon from Echoes in Eternity, which is a comp of demo stuff, their 7-inch, and then some tracks, some live tracks, things like that from when they actually toured. It came out on Agonia.
Some snuff film DVD footage that is an enhanced double disc.
Some anal chew-chewing
right.
And some eel porn. Yeah. This came out on Agonia, who you really shouldn't support because they rip people off. But, you know, I got it through the end, so I figured, well, it comes out about even. They bought it already, so it's, you know, at this point, I'm just supporting the end. So this is from Echoes in Eternity. This is Armageddon with I Am, not Abomination, just I Am.
Like Instant Messenger.
Yeah.
Next song is from the upcoming album called I Am. We'll be right back.
That was The Usurper from Celtic Frost. Gorgoroth did Godseed and Armageddon Am.
Yeah, they am. Okay, that was...
I should have been funny and said, that was Usurper doing Celtic Frost.
Ooh! Yeah, that Usurper song, Celtic Frost.
Yeah.
I miss the good old days of Usurper. You
mean that one EP that was worth
a damn? That was really fucking awesome. And then EPs are funny that way because they compress all the quality down to bite-sized essential chunks.
Yeah.
Just like that... Well, not that I like all of Abzu's work, but the Eyes of the Eldonic EP is just fucking great.
Yeah, totally.
I think we need to have an all EP episode. We haven't done that yet, so I think that's what we'll do soon. But
we'll do an all EP episode that's all live recordings of Goat Band. Just to all cover all goat, the bases.
Yep. And that will be our least popular show ever. Yeah, don't do that again.
All Goat Band show.
And then
next to the all.
And then Tribute to Kraft. Yeah.
Chocolate Rain.
Broke out some Celtic Frost there because, among other things, I went to see them play in Monterrey, Mexico on Saturday, Friday, which was really excellent. It was the first time in Mexico. And, it was cool because the crowd was, the room wasn't, I wouldn't say it wasn't sold out, but it was very packed. I mean, it was a thousand people to be sure. And everybody was, of course, very into it, but, mosh pits and the like, but it wasn't like an American show. It reminded me of like late 80s metal shows where everybody was
just added an extra O to their name.
Oh,
Celtic Frost! Frost!
There was one kid, he kept screaming Hellhammer like the entire show. Every time they stopped playing, Hellhammer! Hellhammer! Just, he was up in the balcony. And it was a cool show. It was very mellow. I mean, Monterey's very chill kind of place, but the band sounded really good. It was weird though because I've seen Frost in their current incarnation 3 times now, and it's funny to watch they're very insistent on the way they do things, even if it's not the most expedient way or the way that would the most predictable way, and they triumph as much as they suffer for that because. Mm-hmm. I was actually up in the balcony this time, and it was really funny to watch the crowd kind of just drift away a little bit when they played certain things that were a bit of a stretch. Like, they have that couplet in the middle of their set, and I don't know why they do this, but they play that song Mesmerized, which immediately puts everybody down. It does mesmerize them, but not in a good way, I don't think. And then they play an Apollyon Sun song, I think it was, or at least it was, or I think it ended up on that comp, that Parched with Thirst Am I and Dying. Yeah. They play that too, like back to back. And the crowd just kind of just goes, everybody gets out pillows and starts leaning on each other. And it's just like, oh, come on. I mean,
blowjobs start going on.
Yeah, weird. People
belt buckles hit the floor. Dudes are introduced to other dudes
in the middle of the act. Hey, I'm Steve.
Bueno. Soy como Earl.
Mucho gusto, Earl. Yo soy Steve. Also, it's kind of sad because, as everybody who listens to our show knows, we like the new album. And it seemed like there's a lot of people out there who just want to hear the first 3 pretty much, because every time they broke out one of those songs, and they really attacked them pretty hard, it was cool. But
yeah.
But then they played like the best material off the new album, off Monotheist, and then it was just kind of like everybody's all, it's cool, So, go figure. It was also funny because I'm walking around in front of the show, and you can see all these little Mexican Hessians just kind of getting a little confused and worried because all eyes come on me and they're like,
Alexi Laiho!
Yeah, no. Nobody did that to me. But they kind of freeze because they're like, tall gringo with blonde, long blonde hair.
Froost!
Yeah, froost!
Froost!
So I got rushed a bunch, and some of those kids didn't even bother to ask who I was. They didn't care. Yeah. They just knew I was one of them, or something.
Quetzalcoatl!
Yeah.
Oh! I've returned again.
You're going to Libertad La Raza. Ay, ay. They thought it was
give me your children a boulder.
Actually, Fin Troll was opening, and they thought I was in Fin. They thought I was in Fin Troll. Yeah. Fin Troll was horrible, horrible, horrible. I've only heard little bits of their music, and I was really sorry to sit through their set. It was short. It was quick. They didn't waste a lot of people's time, but still.
And yet, they managed to do so anyway.
Yeah, but, well, the crowd liked him, but it was just kind of like a, hey, this is fun and bouncy. Let's be fun and bouncy with it, you know? Because they had, like, the keyboard breakdown like that.
Me gusta Earl.
They had, like, the I mean, literally, they had this song. The singer was so anti-charismatic. If he'd been a black metaler, it would have been cool. But he's, like, this folk metaler fruit bat, and he's up there going, this is a song about the recipe for eating humans. And then literally they go into the sink. I mean, like
a cacciatore.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, I guess it involves a lot of oregano. Yep. You know, it's just horrible, horrible. But
it's rustico.
I'm still perplexed. Maybe one of you can write into metalenema@gmail.com and explain this to me. I don't know who listens to Fin Troll. I don't know.
You have 500 words or less to convince us.
Right.
Get fucking writing.
If you listen to Fin Troll, I want to know why you like them. Please explain this to me, because
we're totally willing to take your feedback on this.
Yeah.
We're
definitely take it
curious.
Under, yeah, we'll take it under advisement. We'll look at it from all sides.
That's right.
As it stands, I don't understand why, aside from being on Century Media and having that awesome distribution we were talking about earlier,
right,
why anybody would like them. It's just by proxy. It's just because they're available.
You know? Same with Thy Primordial. Yeah. And what's that other band that does like the Lord of the Rings stuff?
Not Summoning. Summoning's cool.
No. It's not in battle, but it's like,
oh, Battle Lore?
Battle Lore, yeah. And Balsaga. Any of those bands, if you want to write in 500 words and explain
why you like those bands. Why. Yeah, because they did kind of remind me of like first album Balsaga. They kind of had that long-winded just kind of na 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 na, you know, just kind of all over the place. It just went on and on. But then they only played like a half-hour set. I was like, oh, God, that was great.
It was 30 minutes. I'm never going to get back.
I guess... Are they Norwegian or are they Finnish? I mean, I figure because their name is Fin Troll that they were...
From Michigan.
Yeah, exactly. But they kept... What is it with those with the Scandi bands now? They're all about the hey, hey, hey thing again. You know? I mean, they were doing that a lot. You know, every song. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Hey, hey, hey. You know, and it's not part of the song. It's just the lead singer. And like, and the crowd was responding, I.
K.
What? That'd be actually pretty cool. That's an American audience should do that. When the guy gets up there and goes, hey, everyone should go, what? Okay, so Deathspell Omega is still the band of the month. They're the longest running band of the month we've had because they've spanned 2 months.
That's right.
But, you know, that's our fault, not theirs. So we'll have a new band.
We had to grow mustaches.
Yes. I'm not allowed to grow one. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. You're like, I don't want to hear about it. Careful, you're gonna turn
shit
into
myself.
And turn into Red Eagle again. Yeah. All right, then we'll just go ahead and play it. It's The Bread of Bitterness. Yeah. Mm, yeah.
That's sourdough.
Yes.
twisted. I grow twisted even further in the vileness and degradation.
You're listening to The Metal Enema on SolarFallRadio.com. I'm The Undertaker.
I'm Mac Bornis Epicac, metalenema@gmail.com, myspace.com/metalenema.
I haven't looked at that in a while. I need to probably add like 1,000 people.
Oops.
Yeah. But it's all rappers.
Oh, good. Good.
So that was...
that was Public Enemy with...
Yeah. No, that was actually Deathspell Omega with A Chore for the Lost.
Gone. Sweeping. Do this. Gone.
And then before that, Deathspell Omega with The Repellent Scars of Abandon. And before that, Deathspell Omega with Sourdough Bread. Yeah. Woo. Okay, you were going to tell a story, were you not? Or did you want to?
Oh, it kind of ties into Public Enemy, kind of ties into Deathspell Omega. One of my coworkers is very into... socialism and the workers and she's very into the fight for Islam. And
does she have nice breasts?
Yes.
Oh, well, there you, that makes it all okay.
Exactly.
Anything you say, baby.
That's right. That's right. And so she gets mad because I call her a liberal.
Well, isn't she?
No, not according to her. She's a socialist.
A leftist.
It confounds me just to kind of get into those discussions with her. So we started talking about, she tried to be not pissy one day and started saying, oh yeah, my brother used to listen to metal. I used to listen, you know, my friends of mine used to listen to metal. So I went with the safe one. I was like, I had Anthrax. You know, I said I used to have Anthrax on my iTunes. I backed it up. I'll bring it in. Mm. And so for days, she was like, did you bring in any Anthrax for me? Did you bring in any Anthrax for me? I was like, no. What it was because I had given her Bad Brains to back up.
Oh, okay.
And then we were talking about other stuff. And one day we had a DRI discussion. And one day so she was like, do you have any Anthrax? Because, I have this song for you. And she handed me some, she was like trying to pawn off of some Egyptian music or Syrian music and trying to pawn off some, I don't know what, but she asked me, she's like, well, I could give you that Sonic Youth song, Youth Against Fascism. That'd be kind of funny. And I was like, I've got that at home. And she's like, oh, I was trying to be funny. I was like, well, it wasn't as funny as me asking you if you have any screwdriver.
Oh. she didn't know what that was. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Oh no.
And I said, that's even funnier. You don't know who screwdriver is.
Nice.
Luckily for her, I had downloaded the entire discography already. Bad day at work. The people around you annoying. Time for the Klansman.
Screwdriver. Middle finger. Along the same lines, that half Jewish girl that I work with, who's the total slut,
mm-hmm.
She was complaining to me about how she thinks
my pussy hurts.
she told my throat hurts.
I need to stop going all the way down.
No, it's like she actually told me that the other day.
My butt hurts.
She did tell me her throat hurts. I was like, well, you shouldn't bear down so hard. You know, she's like, hey! You know, but she went on to tell me how she has acquired a stalker, so she thinks, at work. And I said, well, what makes you say that? Is some guy bothering you? And she's like, well, no, it was this guy that, you know, I got with, you know, just like a one night stand about a year ago while I was,
I teabagged him. It's cool.
Ooh, I snailed him. And she's like, I was really drunk and he, you know, he's awful. I don't want to be with him at all. And she's like, that's the kind of thing that happens when I drink. And I'm like, wow.
Have some whiskey.
Yeah. Well, I just happen to have this belt of booze in my desk. See you in the bathroom. No, she goes on to say that,
one finger in my butt up to the second knuckle. It's fine.
And she,
here's this butter and fan roll.
Yeah. We'll be good to go. Swipe, 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 roll, roll, roll. She basically, the short version of it is that she fucked this guy that she didn't know and didn't really care anything about or like really at all. And apparently he was sort of beneath her, you know, or whatever. Well, sort of.
Because she was on top.
Right. And so he started calling her and text messaging her a whole bunch and she just blew him off. Okay. Now he works at the same office we work in. I mean, a year later, mm-hmm. In fairness. And now he knows that she's there, and he's like calling her and text messaging her again. She's trying to ignore it. And I said, well, was he doing this the entire time? She's like, well, no, not really. And I said, and I didn't actually say this, but I was like,
she fucked him again.
No. Well, yeah, that was what I was getting to. Basically, I was like going, wanting to fuck you again does not count as stalking. You know, sorry, it just doesn't. I mean, coming around again, going, well, you know, can we still
got a pussy?
Can we get together and drink? You know, yeah. That doesn't count as stalking.
So, still like tea bags? Nah, work's been lame. So
yeah, same here. It's been kind of quiet and stupid, and just making me angry instead of kind of making me laugh. I'm not having any booger wall encounters, none of that. You know, the booger wall's gone.
I don't know, and
in a weird way, I miss it. don't have anything to ruminate and walk back and give people updates on, especially the girls who can't see it because they don't go into that bathroom. Man, you should see the booger wall now. It's starting to look like the
and they're like, oh, you should see the tampon wall.
Yeah, the maxi wall. Just yep. Well, Immolation, as you know, has it's ceasing to be new because it's been out for a few months, but they have Shadows in the Light, and they're getting ready to go out on tour with Suffocation all through the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And then in February, they're going out again.
Have we played Hope and Horror?
Yeah, we have.
The whole thing?
Yeah, we have.
Okay.
Put the whole thing.
Well, all right.
And they're going to be out with Suffocation, and they're going to be out in February with Rotting Christ, Belphegor, and Aversifera. So that should be exciting, too. So let's just keep that Immolation love rolling, and we're going to play World Agony. Ow! It hurts!
My pussy hurts. My butt hurts.
We'll be right back. Musketeers. Snow descends on the valley. High impossible drifts. Mountains of light. Mountains of light. So rashly I am wishing. Mountains that I know are standing here. These mountains not a face. Mountains of light. Mountains of light. We'll be right back.
I started murdering people to pay my bill now. Recognize of myself.
Just go ahead and read it again.
All right, this show. Ow, my butt. This segment of Metal Enema is dedicated to all the girls at work. That was My Dark Desires from Dark Funeral.
Oh, yeah.
Stab Wound Orgasm and Kill That Fucking Bitch. Those aren't the songs in there. But Mountains of Might from Immortal. And World Agony from Immolation.
Nice. So, in case you haven't figured it out, I'm the Undertaker.
I'm Agapornis Epicac.
You're listening to Stellar Fall Radio. We're kind of getting our show legs back, it feels like.
We're getting our show on.
Yeah, getting our show on.
Because we've had our show off.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I haven't really thought about the show.
And it was sweet, sweet relief.
No, it
I was able to contemplate the meaning of the universe and make pies and grow a mustache.
Did you know that Nick Nolte just had a kid? He's like 68 years old, but he's like with some woman who's like 39 or something.
Go Nick.
Yeah, she just kicked out a kid. I love Nick Nolte because not only is he actually a genuinely good actor, but he just does not give a fuck. He's not trying to pretend to be like all these other people go, oh, well, I'm sorry about all that awful coke taking and beer drinking behavior that made me like wipe my car out and kill that family of kittens. You know, I'm gonna go to rehab and everything's gonna be fine, and then you're still gonna pay to see all my movies because you'll think I'm just like you. No, Nick Nolte's like, fuck that shit, Jesus Christ.
Gary Busey did that?
No. Gary Busey doesn't give a fuck either.
When is Gary Busey, Tom Sizemore, and Nick Nolte
gonna make a movie together?
They
already announced it. It's gonna be called It's going to be kind of like a buddy cop addiction drama.
Hollywood sex tape. Night vision.
Ketamine taken. Grill polishing type of thing. Yeah. It's going to be great.
Cool.
Coming soon.
It's just going to be the three of them pissing on Paris Hilton.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Big ookie on the cookie. That
Nick Nolte. Nick Nolte. Nick Nolte.
Tom Sizemore.
Gary Busey
and me
getting high as can be. Yeah.
Roseanne.
Louis Anderson. Georgie Scott. Boy, those jokes are old.
We need to do Georgie Scott, Roseanne Barr, Louis Anderson, Gary Busey, Tom Sizemore,
and Nick Nolte
all doing Silent Night. Oh. For them. Yeah.
Like, you mean like the Chewbacca one where it's just the sound samples?
Yeah, exactly.
Of them?
Oh. We just get some sound samples of all those
my
people.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Silent Night.
We'll create
the new internet sensation that won't go anywhere because
like,
only we think it's funny.
Just like Chocolate Rain.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
Chocolate Rain. And you look the other way.
If you guys don't know what we're talking about,
thank your fucking Christ.
Go to YouTube, type Chocolate Rain, and you'll be so mad at us. It's basically
just
like,
go look it up. Yeah, you'll find it.
I'm not even going to. Yeah, fuck it. I don't even want to tell you. I don't care. You know what? It's almost Halloween. We are going to have a Halloween show, which in which case we're just going to break form and play all the iterations of the song Halloween by the Misfits.
There'll be four songs that we do over and
over and
again.
Over. Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
But I found out to my anger that they don't...
We're going to do it all in blackface.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But, wait, I lost you.
Oh, it's... You know, it's Halloween, dress-up time.
We're right.
We're going to be in costume. You won't be able to see us. We should do a podcast of the Halloween show.
Oh, where we're in costume doing the show?
Yeah.
Well, the problem is that I wanted to get a Boba Fett costume. I already have a Darth Vader costume, but that's something everybody does now.
Yeah.
Because I was doing Darth Vader before the new movies came out. And so, like, in 96, it was kind of like this knowing sort of almost retro thing.
Yeah.
And now it's current again, so it's not as cool. I decided, all right, I want to take a left turn and do Boba Fett. Maybe I'll just march around in a Boba Fett costume for Halloween, even though I don't go to Halloween parties, you know? So I'll just be like going and getting the mail, it's Boba Fett, you know, going and using a public restroom as Boba Fett. That would be funny. But they have the deluxe Darth Vader costume that looks exactly like the Darth Vader costume in the movie. It's licensed, the whole thing.
Like, it's like $2,000.
No, it's only $750. Oh, okay. It's surprisingly inexpensive, but I mean, it looks great. I mean, they've got a guy posing in it, and it's like, whoa, that looks exactly like it. But then the best Boba Fett costume they have is like maybe $200, and it looks like shit. It looks like a $70 costume.
The best Boba Fett costumes are the ones that are made by the guys that make their own stormtrooper armor.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all vacuum, you know, vacuum molded plastic armor.
Yeah.
Like on Something Awful, they had the 22 most horrible moments in science fiction, and one of them was a Star Wars redo thing, and there was this picture of this convention where there's like 300 guys in stormtroopers, 6 Darth Vaders, one Emperor, one guy dressed as the pilot from episode 1.
Oh, God.
And like 4 Boba Fetts. I don't think I can do it in time, but I broke down and rented that movie Silent Hill just because I heard that it was
The visuals were good.
So I wanted to do make a Red Pyramid costume.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah. And there is a MySpace. It's like, you know, MySpace / Red Pyramid costume or Pyramid Head costume where this guy made. He had a sheet metal pyramid cut to form and welded together and had it chained up. He's like the official Red Pyramid. He was at...
he really ripped? Like pyramid guy is?
No, he's I don't think he bothered to do lifts on his shoes. And he's not particularly ripped, but he's certainly skinny enough.
Mm-hmm. Because they portray him as being kind of like muscular.
Yeah. He's supposed to be really muscular, or he rapes the monsters in the game. And,
right.
And the actor in the film, they put on like 9-inch or 8-inch platforms and then disguise them over.
That was the coolest thing in that movie.
But I figure for me, if I was going to do that, it would have to be some sort of like El Duce Mentors variant of the Red Pyramid, you know?
Oh, your pyramid lover, sticking up the covers, covering you in blood, oh yeah, something like that. Yeah, that would be cool. I don't really dress up for Halloween anymore. I just don't ever have any place to go. I mean, there's places to go, but I don't want to go there because there's always idiots.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just an Austin thing. I think maybe if we lived up north again or something.
Maybe if we went on the goth cruise.
What? You're not making that up, are
I'm
you?
I'm not making that up.
The chain!
It's like gothcruise.com.
Ooh.
It's this cruise ship that's nothing but goths.
See, I might be...
But I think it's actually... I think it's a little bit cooler than that by this much, which is a very tiny fraction, you can see. I think it's on a paddle boat on the Mississippi River or something. It's kind of interesting. Old worldy, but...
If there was any goth chicks left that were still hot, it might be worth checking out, you know, because they're all fat now.
Yeah.
Like, I remember back in the 90s when I was going to school, you and I were going to school, there was like a lot. There was a, remember in Austin for a
now
while,
there's
that.
Just roll them in their face powder and aim for the
white spot. Yeah. I mean, but you remember that, right? There was like, there, remember for that, like that 1 year, like 95, there was a burgeoning goth scene. And there's like a number of actually really hot chicks in that scene, like that
girls
girl
that could fit into their bodices.
Their tat suits and stuff. Yeah. There's that one girl from that, what was it, Seraphim Gothique band?
Yeah.
Oh, she was fucking hot.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that now it's just fat, fatty, fat, fat, you know.
And now it's just like a Ren Fair, but they listen to Machine Head.
Ah. God, that band sucks. All right, what have we got? Oh, we've got Suffocation, because they're on tour. And it's Liege of Inveracity from Effigy of the Forgotten, as if you couldn't guess.
Oh,
We're back. That was Vanity of Vanities from Marduk. And before that, Arioth from Catharsis off the Tormenting Legends 2 compilation, which...
Ooh, I think I have that.
It's good stuff. You can get it on the Ina Offensive.
Well, all right.
Who else
is on it?
Oh, God. I don't have it in front of me. Bael from France is on it. Luror. A bunch of really underground bands. Svest is not on it.
Okay.
But there's a lot of interesting stuff on there, and it's a good album. Not a good album, but a good comp.
Yeah.
Good to have. I think it's like 75 minutes worth of material, too.
Wow.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And before that, Suffocation with Liege of Inveracity from Effigy of the Forgotten with that inexplicable mechanized spider crab thing on the front.
Best thing ever.
Yeah, it's cool looking, but I just don't know what it has to do with anything, you know? They got to that point with all those bands on Roadrunner and Earache where they were just buying Seagrave stuff wholesale. Oh, I just was working on this today. I don't know what it really had. You know, I was just thinking of something. Oh, that's perfect. I'll put it on the cover. Well, yeah. What's your album called? It's called Christ Killer. All right. You know. Too bad that guy's a Christian.
Who's Seagrave?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Remember reading those interviews with all those artists? He's a Christian.
I didn't get that far, I guess.
Hmm.
I'm just more concentrated on, and I'm going to fucking forget his name, the dude that did the Slayer album covers.
I fucking forgot his name, too. He was cool.
Yeah, he did a lot of them by thinking about what he was going to paint right before he went to bed, mm-hmm. and then, like, trying to he would close his eyes and just try to draw sort of, like, automatic sketching,
mm-hmm.
and... until he fell asleep, and then in the morning he would see what it was that he did and try to work off it, do the same kind of thing the next night.
I just love the fact that he just had to be contacted through all these weird arcane mailing P.O. box type things. Slayer couldn't get in contact with him directly because he did Rain and Blood, and then he did South of Heaven, and then he came back and did Christ Delusion.
Yeah.
And all three times Slayer could not actively contact the guy. They had to like kind of just hope he'd write back,
mm-hmm.
which that's pretty cult.
Yeah.
So yeah, that guy's really brilliant. One of a kind. You know, when I was in Mexico, I couldn't help but snicker at the,
Mexicans.
I was the one who was the asshole because I know a little bit of Spanish and I knew just enough to get myself into trouble, or not trouble, but just confusion.
Yeah.
Because it's weird when you're in a place like Monterrey has a lot
of... Hey, puta, no trabajar.
Yeah. No funcionar. When I went to Dark Vision Records, which is like the local metal store, which you can't really buy anything there, though, because it's all stuff that you can get in the States, except it costs twice as much because it's imported.
Right.
But they had the Furza tapes that I bought you.
Yeah.
And I was like going, necesito, cosa. I was like trying to point to the girl. She's like, oh, I, you know, esto? I'm like, no, no. Oh, esto. No, 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 no.
Cassette and
yeah.
Bush.
Right. I was like, lower, furs. And she's like, oh, I will see. And, you know, she gets them. And then like, she hands them to me. And I said to her in Spanish, I said, you know, que es la palabra para esto, which means what's the word for this? It's like, caseta. I'm like, ugh, yes, you know, all right, it's trying too hard. So, but anyway, I also saw that the movie I, Robot in Mexico is called Yo, Robot, which, considering the content of the movie, was more accurate, if you ask me.
I thought it was going to be called I, Robot.
Oh, that's good, too. I, Robot. No, it was called...
Roboto.
Called Yo...
Roboto.
Yo, Robot.
Soy, Robot.
And, of course, their money is hysterical. Because
it's worth nothing.
Well, it's actually worth more than it used to be because
thanks
our dollar
euro.
Is so fucking weak.
Yeah.
It's now just a straight 2-1, pretty much. Like 2-15. They had like these weird cutaways in the money where it's like all plastic. It's really strange.
Huh.
Seriously, like little cutaways in the bottom where it's like a little plastic watermark.
Because it's made out of like six-pack rings.
Yeah, yeah.
Just kind of painted
and
blue.
And flip-flops.
Right.
Yeah, six-pack rings and flip-flops is their currency. You have to go to a Goodwill.
Do we have change for a hoof?
Yeah, and bottle caps and all that good stuff. Turkey feathers.
It's this elaborate, gaudy piece of plaster with bottle caps and yeah. hooves and little skeletons on there.
You just have to have a piece of Play-Doh. You don't have a wallet. You just jam right, all your yeah. bits and pieces
you get
in
the
there.
Little, you know, the little Milagros in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. Do you have change for a hand, a heart, a leg, and an angel wing? Yeah. Oh, see.
Yeah, see. What about a cockroach? Oh!
Oh, God.
Well, they also had this place that was really weird right on the main strip in the Macro Plaza, as they mm-hmm. call it. It was like a pet store, but kind of, sort of. It was sort of like a pet...
Tacos de putas!
Well, it looked like... Yeah, they had that too, but it looked like a PetSmart, except it was exploitive as hell. More so, whoa. Like they had like this little tiny Shetland pony sitting in the window. I mean, it seemed like it was doing fine. It was just sitting there eating. Yeah. That's all horses do, is just stand and eat.
But the girl that was blowing him,
yeah,
that was a different story. She didn't look.
She was
good
having
at
trouble.
All.
Well, they had a baby tiger, and it looked sad. Tigers in captivity
fuck
look sad.
That.
Yeah,
fuck those.
And
people.
And then they had an owl. In a big bird cage, and like they're trying, they're moving it around like they're transporting him down the street
mm-hmm.
on the way there, and he's like, you know, he's just like kind of got his tail out hanging on, you know, because of the inertia. He's like, whoa, you know, it's just like, oh shit, yeah. So we didn't go into that place. We're just like, oh, maybe we could. No. We saw the tiger
people.
In the window, and it's like, you know, picture with tiger, you know, 4 pesos or whatever. Like,
shit, how much was the tiger? Fucking
buy it and set it free.
Buy it and try to release it.
It was probably declawed or something too. I don't know. Yeah. It was like a baby. Yeah, I didn't like that. That was very Mexican. Sorry, don't scream. I don't mean as in race. I mean as in culture. You know, that's just one of those things. That's something that America, I have to say, is actually pretty scrupulous about, is that...
Yeah, because all the fucking assholes in America that buy tigers, they at least have the good sense to keep them out of sight in their goddamn bathrooms.
Right. But I mean, but generally speaking, if you were... In America, people would lose their grip if they walked into a store and there was a baby tiger, like, tied to the wall. They're like, the fuck is that, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's not our country. Who are we to say? We just need to bomb.
We are America!
Yeah, we'll just bomb it.
Fuck these fucking people.
Oh, and on that note, it's time for Betrayal of the Tiger by Betrayal of the Lamb by Profanatica from Profanatius de Dominatia from their new album, better known as Onward to Golgotha Outtakes.
Yeah. taken possession of my soul.
Fades away.
Bitter thoughts, breathless, small details all to grill. Token and bottles of blood to the memory of the ground. Man-made control technology comes the worst reality.
As a survival of the chemicals,
I'm a rolling house of domination. Shit is contamination. Crush the vision of mankind.
This set is dedicated to third world country diseases. That was Gorophobia with Chronic Blood Larva. Gorophobia also with Cremate in Hate. Mercury with The Black Flame of Uncreation. And Profanatica doing Betrayal of the Lamb.
For those of you keeping score, the Goraphobia is off their compilation Vile Beast of Abomination. That's basically a couple of new tracks from Goraphobia. Well, they're old, but they were actually never recorded, so they re-recorded them with their current lineup, which is mostly old lineup. And then they have the 7-inches and the demo stuff all on one disc.
Cool.
So it's put out through Necroharmonic, but if you can get it elsewhere, I highly recommend it. It didn't really go too well when I ordered it from them. And
but they were quicker than Century Media.
Slightly, yes. Then Mercury was from their split with Nistron 666 on W.R. Morti Productions. That's a great 10-inch, really thick, heavy gram white vinyl. It looks really funny. It looks like it's not even real. You pick it out, it's like, does this even play? But it does. Yeah. So that was another show. Gut Shot and Limping, we went through it. I'm the Undertaker.
Magapornis Epicac, myspace.com/myspace, metalenema at gmail.com.
Does anybody have myspace.com/myspace?
Oh, I don't know. We should.
We should find that out. That would be hilarious. It's probably some girl with a tit job.
Sweet.
Yeah. All right. Well, next time, it will be our Halloween episode. Well, we'll break that out when we do that episode. Yeah. All right. I don't have anything else to say. Fuck it.
Fuck you.